I want to first of all thank everyone who's worked on strategic information and the President's emergency plan, especially Jordana De Leon, who's here in the front, who worked on these slides. We have hundreds of staff in 7 government agencies, our partners throughout the world, who work with program staff and others to collect this information. And what I'd like to do today is just take you briefly through a little bit of the history of how we set up our information collection within the emergency plan and what its results have been. Oh, I see, it went too far. Okay. The emergency plan is built on a number of premises, and one is that strategic information implementing strong strategic information systems provides vital feedback and input to direct our continued learning and identification of best practices throughout the world, and it should feed back into our programs. Okay, we are in, I'm trying to, somehow these slides are mixed up, but we'll bear with this. Okay. We are in the emergency plan 120 countries throughout the world with a focus on 15. So most of the funding goes to 15 focus countries, primarily in Africa. I just did. Okay, Tom, thanks. Click again. I could just talk, basically. There we go. Okay. Now try again. That. Yeah. Yes. There. No. This is great, Tom. Thank you. Okay. 50 focus countries. Historically, when we started the legislation, 2003 set some targets for us, some goals that many of you who work internationally have heard of. Treat 2 million with ART, which we operationalized as the total number of clients served by ART, and that's really monitoring and evaluation program results. Prevent 7 million new infections, and I'll get into that in a minute. That relates to surveillance and surveys, and we estimate from surveillance data, and program impact modeling that we use. And care and support for 10 million people living with AIDS and AIDS orphans. And here you get into really challenging areas because it's non-health systems frequently that we're looking at in addition to health systems. Next slide, please. So we have these goals. We have this emphasis on the legislation in the program itself on collecting information to use for program planning, but we're in a field where it's complex to measure this. We have multiple donor programs. We have UNGAS reporting indicators, which provide some standardization. We have weak measurement systems in the countries. We have multiple partnerships, over 2,000 partners and sub-partners, country health and other sectors, diverse population needs, and we have multiple impacts on our program. So how do we put this mandate that we had together with this very complex situation? Next slide, please. What we did is we oversimplified the complex situation. which is what we have to do frequently in measurement. Working with others, we talked about, if you look at the blue, pink, and yellow line, those are really national system effects. National facility surveys, population-based surveys, and now that we have HIV testing frequently in those surveys and are experimenting trying incidence testing, ANC sero surveys, which were the traditional form of surveillance, antenatal clinic surveys. We built on periodic what are now public health evaluation studies to give us more in-depth information, routine program reporting, and putting these, the ideal situation, in national databases for synthesis, analysis, and reporting back to programs. So that was our basic model that we began with from beginning in 2004, really, through 2009, to look at the effects of this enormous program. And we did this, yes, next slide, please, through a planning and reporting cycle, where if you look at the far left, in September, our focus countries and now many of our other bilateral countries that receive significant amounts of funding provide us with operational plans in September. We have an approval process, and those plans have targets, proposed activities, dollars. Once they're approved, funding goes out for year-round implementation. We have a mid-year progress report that's actually used in feedback for our proposed allocations in June for the following year, and an end-of-year report in September. And then throughout the year, we get surveillance information as it's completed. So we have a data collection framework. We have a means to do this, an annual reporting cycle with a web-based system. And what have been the results from this? What has all the enormous amount of work done by our partners throughout the world accomplished? Tom, yes, please. Next slide. We now have information on our service beneficiaries. This shows for the 14 of the 15 focus countries the gender breakdown of people on treatment. Next, please. We can look at trends over time for the 15 focus countries. This shows the total number of people reached through emergency plan funding. We're over a million as of March 31st, 2007. And this shows trends in care. And as part of that care, the orphans and vulnerable children, how we've managed to scale up over time and increase services. Next slide, please. We can also, from a public health perspective, look at coverage, population coverage. Now, this is national coverage for all donors. PEPFAR does not work in isolation. We, the global funds, DFID, others, we frequently service the same people, the same clinics. So while we have program results showing how many people we may have touched through our funding, when it comes to impact and coverage, we look at it from a public health perspective, from a population perspective. So here you can see Botswana, where there have been many donors working in the country, one of the earliest African countries to scale up. There's 80% coverage of ARV is estimated. Other countries, Vietnam, which came in a year later behind the other 14 focus countries, 26%. So you can see differences. But look at the changes in coverage that we've accomplished during this short period. Next slide, please. With the UN and WHO, we're also looking at impact. And this looks at cumulative years of life added. It's estimated through modeling that we've worked on methods with the UN and WHO, but it shows about 3.4 cumulative years of life added through our treatment programs. And you can also look at impacts for orphans, for example, which we've done. Next slide, please. As I said, we work with others, other donors, other partners. With the Global Fund, this gives you an example of disaggregation of our numbers, what we've been able to do, because the Global Fund, and we have harmonized our measurements, treatment's the easiest to show, which I'm showing you. In the 15 focus countries, we have the 1.1 million people we've served. The Global Fund and PEPFAR together have served about 621,000 of those 1.1 million in the focus countries because we fund the same sites. The Global Fund has 1.1 million people that they've contributed to on treatment. So our total combined PEPFAR bilateral, Global Fund multilateral is about 1.58 million people are now on treatment throughout the world because of these two programs. Next slide, please. Prevention is a bit more difficult. Measuring a non-event, an infection averted, is extremely difficult. What we've done to come up with a measure is working with the Bureau of U.S. Bureau of Census and also with a UNAIDS reference group, is we've calculated historical trends for countries, which is the top line, the baseline. And then as we do population surveys and gather new information on prevalence, we can estimate incidence and the difference between the new incidence estimates and the baseline is, are the infections averted. So it's the blue in between. It's what would have happened if there had been no programming in the countries. And Mark Dybul, Ambassador Mark Dybul, will be talking at 12:30, and he'll show some of the slides we have starting to come, information coming in on behavior changes and reduction in the epidemic in a few countries. As you can see from this slide, the measurement, the effect is later than treatment or care or serving orphans. So we really don't have good information to start estimating for all 15 countries till probably at least next year, beginning next year. But we do have some country studies that he'll be showing today. And just to say briefly, what we're measuring here is the impact at a national level of all our programs. And that includes PEPFAR's Abstinence Be Faithful, Condoms, and Other Prevention Activities, just to dispel some myths. We do fund a holistic prevention program. So we will be looking in the future at infections averted. That has been what we've been able to accomplish till now. I want to show two last slides which show some of the issues to consider for the next generation of international indicators, strategic information, and measurement. Next slide. What are some of the issues we need to consider? The first is national integration, national planning, and measurement systems. In many places, as partners in the audience know, you've had to set up your own measurement. We've had to set up measurement. We need to focus on building the national systems. UNAIDS is going to have a harmonized core set of measurement indicators and for surveillance and monitoring and evaluation that will make measurement easier, standardize it. We're integrating monitoring and reporting indicators. We have the reporting down, what do you really need for program improvement, and changing priorities for measurement. We need to look at sustainability, gender, new prevention measures, lots of challenges there. So, Tom, the last slide, please. What we're looking for now is really the next generation of PEPFAR indicators. How do we put surveillance, health information systems together, evaluation studies together, and come up with a model at every level so that we can use this for target setting, for reporting, for program improvement? That is our real challenge for the future. We've gotten the basics together. Now, how do we move and build on those? Thank you very much. Thank you, Tom.